ask that you would be in prayer for me this evening as I stand before you, that the Lord would speak to us, speak to our hearts this evening. If you would, turn with me in your Bibles to Amos, the 7th chapter. We'll begin reading with the 7th verse. Amos, the 7th chapter, beginning with the 7th verse. And here, Amos is seeing a vision from God. He's receiving a message from God that was relevant to the children of Israel, but I think that it's also a message that is relevant to us today. And I guess that's one of the amazing things that we find in God's Word, is the things that were written thousands of years ago and that were relevant to the people of that day are just as relevant to us today. That just as God is unchanging and His Word is unchanging, I guess we're kind of unchanging too as we go from generation to generation, because many of the same things that God had to say to His people, and many of the warnings that He gave to His people back in these days, are also the same things that we need to hear, the same warnings that we need. Amos, the 7th chapter, beginning with the 7th verse. Thus he showed me, and behold, the Lord stood upon a wall made by a plumb line, with a plumb line in his hand. And the Lord said unto me, Amos, what seest thou? And I said, a plumb line. Then said the Lord, behold, I will set a plumb line in the midst of my people Israel. I will not again pass by them any more. And the high places of Isaac shall be desolate, and the sanctuaries of Israel shall be laid waste, and I will rise against the house of Jeroboam with the sword. Let us go to the Lord in prayer. Most gracious God and Heavenly Father, we're thankful for this day and for the blessing that you've given us. We're thankful for this opportunity that we have to come into your house that we might worship you. And Father, we're thankful for the opportunity that we've had to sing praises to your name and to offer our prayers to you. And we're thankful that you are indeed a loving and merciful God who hears the petitions of your people. And Father, we ask that you be with us now as we enter into this portion of the service, that your Spirit might come, that he would move among us, that he would touch our hearts.
Yes.
He would open our ears and our minds that we might receive understanding of your word. Father, that we might be able to take that word and apply it to our lives so that as we go from here, we might be better servants of you. Help us as we leave from here, that we might serve you and that we might honor you in all that we do. Now, Father, we ask that everything that's said and done would be in accordance with your will, and that you would receive all the praise and the honor and the glory for all that's accomplished. For it's in Jesus' name we pray. Amen.
Amen.
Amos sees God, and God is standing there on top of the wall made with a plumb line, and God says, what do you see, Amos? And he says, I see a plumb line. And God says to Amos that he's going to drop that plumb line in the midst of his people. Now, when you think about a plumb line and what it's used for, it's used to judge a wall. It's used to judge to make sure that that wall is straight. You know, there are a couple of things that are important with that wall and with that plumb line, because when the plumb line is dropped, if the wall is straight, it looks right. And I think that's something that we as God's children need to keep in mind, that we ought to look right to the world. Because sometimes we forget who we are, and we forget whose child we are. If we are serving God the way that we ought to, if the things that we are doing, if the things that we are saying, if the things that we are thinking are what they ought to be and we are obedient to God, we're going to look right to the world. Now, we're going to look different than the world, but we're going to look right because we're going to look like we are people of integrity. We're going to look like we're people of faith. We're going to look like people who truly honor and respect and serve God. And so when that plumb line is dropped, it's dropped and you look and you see, is the wall straight? Does it look right? Well, when people look at the lives of God's people, they ought to be saying, that looks right. And then also, if that wall is not straight, the wall is not strong. There's a danger there that the wall might fall and might collapse. And that's what can happen amongst God's people. Here, God is dropping a plumb line among a nation, among his people, Israel. And as he drops that plumb line, if the wall is not straight, then the people are not strong. And there's a danger if they are not strong in their faith, if they are not strong in their service, if they are not strong in their obedience, that the wall is going to collapse and that it's going to fall. In fact, as God drops his plumb line, it's pretty evident that he's not pleased with what he's seeing in Israel. Because he tells Amos,
He says, "The high places of Isaac shall be desolate, and the sanctuaries of Israel shall be laid waste, and I will rise against the house of Jeroboam with the sword." Those are not very pleasant things to think about that are going to happen to Israel, and that's because when God drops that line of judgment, when he drops the plumb line amongst his people, what he sees is not what it ought to be. And so, that chastisement is going to come upon the land of Israel. You know, that's not the only time that God judged Israel. He does that, did that frequently throughout the scripture. In fact, as you look at the history of Israel, they seem to go through a pattern. They would serve God and they would live as they ought to, but then as they prospered, they would tend to forget who brought them that prosperity. And in their humanity, they would look at themselves rather than looking at God and saying, "Look what we've done." And then God would have to get their attention, and he would get their attention by chastising them, by bringing them back to remembrance of God and who he is. And they would repent, and they would turn back to God, and they would live as they ought to for a while. And then they would go through that same pattern. I think one of the times that impresses me as I read the scripture that God judged his people was back in the time of Elijah, when God's people were worshiping Baal and worshiping the groves. They were living in idolatry. Now, they were going where they were supposed to. They were going to the temple, and they were still offering the sacrifices and going through all of the motions, but their hearts were not with God. Their hearts were with the idols. And you remember that Elijah stood before the people and said, "How long halt ye between two opinions? Choose you this day whom you're going to serve." And I think as we look at our nation, that we find ourselves in that same situation. God has blessed the nation of America greatly. God has blessed us with prosperity. There's no other nation in the world that can compare. In fact, probably no other nation in the history of the world that can compare with America and where we are today and the blessings that God has given us. But I'm afraid we may have come to that point in our history, as Israel did from time to time, that rather than praising God and thanking God for the blessings that he has given us, that we're beginning to take credit for what we have and for what's been done. And that's a dangerous situation to be in. And if God dropped the plumb line among Israel, and God is never changing, then God will also drop a plumb line among America.
Amen.
And as he looks, what does he see? Does he see a wall that's straight? Or does he see a wall that's in danger of collapsing? Is God pleased with what he sees when he looks at our nation today? Or is he displeased with what he sees? And I think as we see in this passage of Scripture, if God is not pleased with what he sees, there is a danger. There's a danger of what might happen to the nation. And when we look in the scripture, we also find who God holds accountable when the nation is not where it ought to be. 2 Chronicles, the 7th chapter and the 14th verse, I think points out who is accountable. Because he says, "If my people, which are called by my name, shall humble themselves and pray and seek my face and turn from their wicked ways, then will I hear from heaven and will forgive their sin and will heal their land." God is not looking to the heathen to do anything. God is looking to his children. We are the ones who are held accountable for what's happening in this nation today. What are we doing? I'm afraid so often that God's people find themselves just sitting back watching rather than standing and doing what is right. As a statesman by the name of Edmund Burke that is credited with saying, "All that is necessary for evil to triumph is for good men to do nothing." Mm-hmm. And what that means is, if you do nothing, you're basically in favor of evil. Because if you don't stand against evil, you are allowing evil to prosper. And it's important that God's people are willing to take that stand, willing to do what is right and willing to say what is right, even if it may be difficult at times. We're a blessed nation in that we can stand for what is right without some of the dangers that our brothers and sisters in Christ have faced in the past. We can stand and we can say what we need to say. And we're probably not going to be killed. We're probably not going to be cast into prison, at least at this point. And we may suffer. There may be those who would really ridicule us. There may be those who would discriminate against us for the stand that we take and the life that we live. But that's what we are called upon to do.
That's right.
Think about Jesus. He was called upon to come and to leave the glories of heaven. You ever thought about what that must have been like? To leave heaven and to walk on this earth. And then to walk on this earth and suffer all of the same things that you and I suffer. And then ultimately to be beaten, to be spat upon, to be ridiculed, and be nailed to a cross, although he had done nothing wrong. Even Pilate, as he stood before the people, and as he stood before Jesus, said, I can't find anything that this man has done wrong. And yet, he was killed in probably the most cruel and inhumane way that man has ever devised for capital punishment. Now, if Jesus was willing to make that sacrifice, and if God was willing to sacrifice his son, then how much more should we be willing to serve him in whatever way we can? Whatever stands we must take, whatever it is that we must do. But I think there's something else that we also must keep in mind, that as God judges the nation, he also judges the church. And judges the individual churches in Revelation, the second and third chapters, there are some letters that are written to some churches. And in those letters that are written, there's a judgment upon the churches. In Revelation, the third chapter and the 14th verse, there's a letter written to the church at Laodicea. And unto the angel of the church of the Laodiceans write, these things saith the Amen, the faithful and true witness, the beginning of the creation of God. I know thy works, that thou art neither cold nor hot. I would that thou wert cold or hot. So then, because thou art lukewarm and neither cold nor hot, I will spew thee out of my mouth. Because thou sayest, I am rich and increased with goods and have need of nothing, and knowest not that thou art wretched and miserable and poor and blind and naked, I counsel thee to buy of me gold tried in the fire, that thou mayest be rich, and white raiment, that thou mayest be clothed, and that the shame of thy nakedness do not appear, and anoint thine eyes with eye salve, that thou mayest see. As many as I love, I rebuke and chasten. Be zealous, therefore, and repent. Behold, I stand at the door and knock. If any man hear my voice and open the door, I will come into him, and will sup with him, and he with me. God, as he judged the church at Laodicea, was not pleased with what he saw, because he saw a church that was lukewarm. And he said, I'll spew you out of my mouth. What a terrible condemnation upon a church. Have you ever thought what that would mean if God were to spew us out of his mouth, if he were to separate himself from us? How awful that would be. And he says, it's because you look at yourselves and you say, I'm rich and increased with goods and have need of nothing. And you see, sometimes we fall into that trap when we look at ourselves or we look at our church. We look based on material things rather than upon spiritual things. And that's what was happening with the church at Laodicea. They were looking at themselves materially and they said, I'm rich and I have need of nothing. But God said, you ought to be looking at yourself spiritually, because when you look at yourself spiritually, you'll find that you're wretched and miserable and poor and blind and naked. Their priorities were in the wrong place. They were looking at things through the eyes of the world rather than through the eyes of God. And it's easy for us to fall into that trap. We look look at ourselves as a nation or look at ourselves as a church and say, we have everything that we need. We don't need anything else. God looks at us and he says, take a look at the inside, not the outside. And if you look at your inner self, if you look at your spiritual self, you're going to find that there's a lot that you need. And then he said, that as many as I love, I rebuke and chasten. I guess that's one thing good in being chastened. If we're chastened, that means that God loves us. If we're rebuked, God loves us. But he says, be zealous, therefore, and repent. And that's what's necessary for us. What's necessary for us as a nation, what's necessary for us as a church, that's what's necessary for us as an individual, is that we be zealous and repent, because all of us have something that we need to repent of. If we examine our lives honestly, we're going to find that there are things that ought not to be there, and the things of which we need to repent. And Jesus said, behold, I stand at the door and knock. If any man hear my voice and open the door, I will come into him and will sup with him and he with me. And that's not Jesus knocking on the door asking us for to get saved eternally. He's speaking to his children here. We as his children, Jesus is speaking to us. And he will come in. And he will sup with us. He will come in and he will fellowship with us. And what greater blessing can there be for a child of God than to have fellowship with Christ and have this kind of intimate, close fellowship with Christ? That's what's important. And that's what our priority ought to be. It ought not to be how much we have, but it's what is our relationship with God. He also looked at some other churches. He looked at the church at Philadelphia as well. And in the seventh verse, it says, unto the angel of the church in Philadelphia write, these things saith he that is holy, he that is true, he that hath the key of David, he that openeth and no man shutteth, and shutteth and no man openeth. I know thy works, behold, I have set before thee an open door, no man can shut it. For thou hast a little strength, and hast kept my word, and hast not denied my name. Behold, I will make of them the synagogue of Satan, which say they are Jews and are not, but do lie. Behold, I will make them to come and worship before thy feet, and to know that I have loved thee. Because thou hast kept the word of my patience, I also will keep thee from the hour of temptation, which shall come upon all the world to try them that dwell upon the earth. Behold, I come quickly. Hold that fast which thou hast, that no man take thy crown. Jesus spoke to the church of Philadelphia. And when he judged them to be righteous. He judged them to be serving and to doing what they ought to do. He said, you've got a little strength, but you've kept my word and hast not denied my name. And that's what we as a nation, what we as an individual, and we as a church must do, is not to deny the name of Jesus. And when we don't stand as we ought to stand, and when we allow evil to go forward, and we don't say anything about it, we are in essence denying the name of Christ. We can speak and deny the name of Christ, or we can remain in silence and deny the name of Christ. The Church of Philadelphia, they only had a little strength, it says, but they did not deny the name of Christ. What are we doing in our own lives? Are we serving God as we ought to? Are we not denying the name of Christ? Are we standing for what is right? Because you see, God also judges us individually. And I guess one of the most well-known incidences of God judging someone individually is that of David. David was a man of God. He was one of God's children. Yet he found himself placed in temptation. And he was in temptation because he should have been out fighting with his armies, but he didn't. He stayed back at the palace. And when he got up on top of the roof of the palace and he looked out, he saw something he shouldn't have seen. If he knew where he was supposed to be, he would have never seen Bathsheba bathing, and he would not have brought her into the palace and committed adultery with her. But he did. once he committed adultery with her, there was a child that was conceived. And David found himself in a difficult situation because he didn't want anyone to know what he'd done. And so he attempted to cover up his sin, and in covering up his sin, he brought Uriah the Hittite, who was Bathsheba's husband, back from the battle. And he gave him the opportunity to be with his wife, but he refused to do so because of the loyalty that he had to the men who were still in battle. And when David saw that his plan was not going to work, he sent Uriah back with a note that, in essence, caused his death. And it was arranged that Uriah would be killed to death. And at that point, I guess David thought that everything was okay. He had committed sin, but he had hidden it, and he'd gotten away with it. But the one thing that David forgot, and that we sometimes forget, that it doesn't matter what sin we do, where we do it, how we do it, how carefully we think that we may have hidden it, God still knows about it. And so he sent the prophet that stood before David and told David the story about a man who was rich and had plenty, and another man, a poor man, who had one little ewe lamb. And the rich man had someone come to visit him. And so he went and he stole the ewe lamb from this poor man and did that to serve his guest. And David became enraged at what had happened. He said, "That man shall surely die." And the prophet looked David square in the eye and said, "Thou art the man." How many times do we face that? We're disobedient. And we are the person who's disobedient. We are the person who's not serving God. We are the person who's not standing as we ought to stand. We think about our nation, and we should. We pray for our nation and the leaders of our nation, and we should. We say we should take a stand for what is right in our nation, and we should. You know, when you bring it down, the church also has to stand for what's right. The church has to be willing to not deny the name of Christ. And when you bring that down a little bit further, it comes to us each individually, because it's the individuals that make up the church. And God is holding us accountable for the nation. So where are we? God drops the plumb line in America. I don't think he's going to be pleased with what he sees. God dropped the plumb line among his churches. Is he pleased? God dropped the plumb line in our lives. Is he pleased? How do we measure up? When we are judged, where do we fall? The scripture does say, though, be zealous. If we find that we're disobedient, if we find that we're not standing, if we find that we're not doing as we ought to, then the scripture tells us what we ought to do and see. To be zealous and to repent. We're told that those that God loves, he chastens and rebukes. So do we want to remain in our sin? Do we want to remain in our disobedience and experience the chastening and the rebuke of our Lord? Or would it be better if we repented and turned away from our sin and lived and did as we ought to do, that we might enjoy our Lord coming in and fellowshipping with us? I would imagine that we have the same experiences in our lives, and that we have both, or that we have all, experienced the rebuke and the chastening hand of our Lord. And we've also all experienced a close fellowship with our Lord. I don't know about you, but I prefer the fellowship over the chastening. So as we think about our nation, as we are coming up on the elections, as we think about our church, as we think about our lives individually, the phone line's up. What does God say? Challenge for us tonight is to look at our lives individually. Where are we relationship to God? Where are we in our obedience to God? And it's tonight the time that we need to be zealous. My prayer to God would add a blessing to this morning.
Let's stand, please, and sing number 455. Number 455. If you love God and desire to serve God with the church, let your desire be known as we sing. Number 455. Let's see. I am satisfied with Jesus. He has done so much for me. He has suffered to redeem me. He has died to set me free. Wait a minute, let's get a piano player. I didn't start that off. Christy or Brother Taylor, will you come? Can you play that? We just need somebody to come play it. Think about the words. Think about the words as we sing, number 455. Thank you, Lord, for the message that God has blessed Brother Steve to bring to us tonight, and I pray that God will help us to realize the plumb lines that God has said, and that God will help us to examine ourselves in the light of that plumb line. Anyone have anything else that has on your heart before we're dismissed? If not, we'll bow our heads to be dismissed in prayer. And Brother Candy, can you lead some prayer, please?
Well, Chris and Heavenly Father, we thank you so much to be able to come to your house and worship you, Lord. We thank you for the words that you placed on Brother Steve's heart tonight to deliver to us, Lord. And I pray that we will take these words and apply it to our lives, Lord, to realize that you are everything to us, that you love us, and you give us life, and you give us all our blessings, and you look after us and protect us. You're there for our needs, Lord, but we've got to realize that we've got to be there for you, Lord. We've got to return that love and be patient and be honest and be truthful to you, Lord, and to always be willing to do your will, Lord. And just thank you for the words that Brother Steve gave to us. I pray that we'll take them this week, Lord, and apply them to our lives and use them that others can see you, your love in our lives, Lord, and want some of that, Lord. Lord, I pray for our country as we're getting ready to elect new officials in the country, Lord. I pray that we will pray to you about our decision and who to vote for, Lord, and who needs to be making decisions for us in this country, Lord. And that you will show us who we need to vote for, Lord. And as Christians, that we will turn this thing around. But we won't depend on those non-Christians to do it. As Christians, that we will make a difference. And we will care. And we will put in our time and effort and prayer, whatever it takes, Lord, to change this country. It can only be done through your power, Lord, and through your love. And I just pray that we will reach out for you and that we will thank you, strengthen us, Lord, on turning this country around and to be a country that fears God again. And thank you so much for everything, especially your son, Jesus Christ, Lord, for that sacrifice on the cross. One day that we can look on your face, Lord, and see your beautiful face and the love that you have given us, and spend eternity with you, Lord. Just thank you so much for that. So be with us and guide us and bless us as we leave your house tonight. That we will always try to do what you want us to do and what you want us to say. In thy name we pray.
Amen. Amen.
Good. Now. get home and let anybody except for Donna eat it. Just kidding, Donna.
You better tell me whenever you have a flu, so I don't make sure to do this whole number. I heard you, like, oh my
god. And we're not even gonna think about it.
And I'll keep my flu a secret to see you
play so long. We're not even gonna, like, think about washing our hands afterwards, and then, like, we're just gonna start eating it.
Well, I mean, it's gonna be pretty bad to head for a skeleton.
Thank you. Hello. Yeah, that's loud.